It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Friday morning. A feel-good football Friday. A feel-good wild card weekend Friday. There's playoff games all over the place. Kicked off with Notre Dame and Penn State last night. Really entertaining game. I mean, it's funny, we got into the Drew Aller conversation, and then BT and Sal got into that, and boy, he was the story last night. And I know these guys are getting paid now, and I understand, but you couldn't look at that kid and not feel terrible for him throwing that interception when he did, and he claimed he was trying to throw it in the dirt. Did not. Great play by the Notre Dame defender. They kicked the field goal, and they're moving on to the national championship game. And if you're the college football playoff, and you say, man, you know, it would be great if we get Notre Dame in the national championship game. Well, you got them. And, of course, Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. Can't wait for that. One of the best weekends of football of the year. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. That was some game last night. And the last 10 minutes of that game basically was unreal. And it was a great football game because both teams really tried to run the ball. It seems like they were trying to protect their quarterbacks from the pass rush to the opposing team and the blitzes and things of that nature. And you hit on it. I mean, these players get paid now, so now they're open, in my eyes anyway, to some criticism. It doesn't have to be overly severe like we would do with a professional football player, but this is like minor league football. It's college. It was great. It had everything that you wanted. You have two storied institutions, two storied football programs, you know, coaches on, you know, like Marcus Freeman being celebrated, and I think James Franklin is really under the microscope because he's got to win these games.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know Penn State fans are probably a little bit frustrated and annoyed and very disappointed this morning based on the performance of Drew Allers. And you're right. We sat here. We talked about him yesterday. He has all the size. He's got the arm strength. He's got everything. But, you know, first of all, I don't like his explanation that he was trying to throw it away. That you don't throw it away, you know, 15 to 17 yards down the field.
Well, he said he was trying to dirt it at the wide receiver's feet. That's what he said.
He could just get it across the line of scrimmage and just throw it into the ground. But that's a bad decision. And, you know, listening to the announcers, I thought Sean McDonough was great at the end of this game. He was unbelievable. But, you know, they were talking about, you know, how they trust Drew Allers, and I would trust Drew Allers too, but, you know, unfortunately for him, you know, maybe this is the game and that's the situation that tells him, go back to Penn State. No matter what the Giants say to you, just go back to Penn State, play another year. I'm sure they paid you. That's why your backup quarterback went to Missouri in the transfer portal. I can't see him coming out now. And, you know, that was just an absolute disaster. Believe me, my heart broke for that kid because being in that situation is just, you know, everybody's going to be talking about you today, just like we started out with him today.
Sure.
As opposed to really focusing in on, you know, how good these defenses were last night and how hard they made it. And one big play by Notre Dame ends up as a touchdown, and it kind of like opened the game a little bit, but both teams were punting late in this game.
Yeah, and if I could patent one of my phrases, it would be the big decisions in your life make themselves. Like, something happens when you're confronted with a big decision. Something happens in your life that says, all right, this is the way I gotta go. And Drew Aller throwing that interception last night is the moment that said, I gotta stay in school. Like, I can't. I am not gonna come out after that. I'm not ready. He did not look good the entire night, really. The most success that they had was on the ground. I mean, it was just like, this was the, he's 20 years old. You know, that we talked about.
Go back to school. And, you know, maybe get a national championship next year, and you'll have a leg up on everybody else. And the thing that I was thinking about last night, just watching him, was just that he looks skittish.
Skittish.
You know, and sometimes these coaches, you know, they got to get a guy into the game. And just like Josh Allen would always tell Brian Daboll, I need a hit. You know, maybe he's got to get a hit. Maybe he just needs some, you know, easy completions, because that seems to be the kind of the prevailing thought when you watch these games with young quarterbacks. Get him easy completions, whether they're wide receiver screens behind the line of scrimmage, tight end delays over the ball. Little plays like that, you know, should be rather simple to make. But when you're playing against good defenses, you know, and the pressure is there and they're going to be on you, And, you know, and quite frankly, you know, Notre Dame was missing two of their top offensive linemen. So Riley Leonard was under constant pressure. You know, that defensive line for Penn State is the real deal. But, you know, he stayed in there. He hung in there. You know, it was just, I don't know, it was a great football game. The last 10 minutes were totally compelling. I was in it to the end. And I like you, and I think most people out there, if you had no skin in the game, if you will, probably really felt disappointment for Drew Allers.
Yeah, I didn't bet the game. If I had to root for one or the other, I mean, if you're not a fan of Penn State or Notre Dame, it's hard to like either one of those programs.
You're right.
But I would say that I would lean towards liking Notre Dame more than Penn State because I did work for the Pitt football program, and everybody at Pitt hates Penn State, so that was kind of put into my brain. But I still felt, I mean, he's 20 years old. He looks like a kid. He's just devastated. You know he's trying his ass off. It was just a massive mistake on a huge scale. And for people that are just, you know, learning about college football, putting that game on, hearing about him being a prospect, and then you see that and the game ends that way, like now that's attached to his name. But, you know, sometimes you need that moment to rise up. You need to have that real negativity to become the best version of yourself.
He is going to get hammered. And, you know, I'm assuming because of this nil situation, and because his backup left to go to Missouri, and I guarantee you he got paid a nice sum of money go to Missouri.
Of course.
That Penn State had made an offer to Drew Allers to stay. And to me, that's one of the reasons why the backup leaves, because he knows in his heart that Drew Allers is not leaving regardless.
You're adding an S to it. It's Drew Aller.
Aller.
Yeah.
Just because there's no way that he is going to say to James Franklin, you know, I'm leaving, coach. You might as well give the money to my backup. There's no way he's doing that. So I think if he would have had a great game last night, I think most people would have been excited for him and possibly being drafted in the first round of this year's draft. But I don't see it. I didn't see it last night. I didn't see it before last night. But again, he just needs another year, more games, bigger games. And the other thing, too, is James Franklin said something about Notre Dame, which I've long believed. And I totally believe in what James said. And he kind of just said it under his breath, and we kind of laughed at it. You know, Notre Dame needs to be a part of a conference. I mean, you look at I know that they beat a lot of ranked teams, but the teams that they beat ranked, you know, Army, Navy, I mean, come on. They're playing Stanford. I mean, I understand. They played USC, who's got a down year this year. They played, now in the college football playoff, they played great.
Well, yeah,
they've earned their right to be there. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying overall, for the fairness of college football, I think Notre Dame has to be a part of the Big Ten. They have to be a part of the Big Ten. And they already have a number of different rivalries within the Big Ten, but I just think that they should be playing, you know, earlier in the year, bigger games than Indiana. You know, Indiana had a great year. When they played Indiana, they were ranked 10th. And, you know, they beat them after they lost to Northern Illinois. And to me, it's just like they should be a part of what everybody else is doing. And I do agree with James Franklin in regards to Notre Dame not being an independent football team. I know that the rest of their sports are ACC.
Yep.
They don't belong in the ACC. They belong in the Big Ten.
Well, right, and that's always tricky with the TV deals and everything else, and we've seen so much of that movement. So, yeah, it's been a conversation for a very long time about Notre Dame getting into a conference finally. So you've got Ohio State and Texas tonight, then you got Wild Card Weekend, and James Franklin is that guy that sort of is like Lamar Jackson going into this postseason, where everything's been really, really good, won a lot of games, but when you go up against the best, you just don't get it done.
Or Ryan Day of the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Exactly. So he's got his opportunity tonight for sure. And there's a couple of those guys. You know, Josh Allen is another one. I mean, I think both those guys are the ones that have the most pressure on them, and the eyes are going to be on them because of the MVP seasons that they have had. And they're also large favorites on Wild Card Weekend. And I'm telling you, if either one of those guys gets picked off, or either one of those teams gets picked off this weekend, it's just going to be an avalanche. Like, anything that they did in a regular season will mean squat to the sports viewing world if they get picked off on Wild Card Weekend these big favorite, big spreads that they're favored by.
I always go back to that Kansas City, I think it was a divisional matchup, right, between the Chiefs and Buffalo.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, Josh Allen was a superhero in that game. He did everything humanly possible that a quarterback can do in a game. And with 13 seconds left in the game, they ended up losing the game.
Yep.
And they don't have college football clock rules, you know, which are insane. And I don't know if you, I don't know if this jumped out at you last night or not. The guy setting the football, the umpire setting the football last night, he's the guy that sets the football, sure. the referee sets the football, the official sets the football. That guy was like stopping Notre Dame from going. I guess because every time there is a substitution, you got to give the other team a chance to, you know, substitute with that, with you. And the down clock was getting under 10 every time, and Notre Dame was just going to the line. And it was always under 10 minutes. I have 10 seconds on the down clock. And this guy was backing out. I was waiting for him to trip and then seeing all the memes on social media and things of that nature. But that was driving me nuts last night. But I got to say, it was a great game played by a bunch of really hungry kids on both sides. It meant everything in the world to them. You could tell. And I love the fact that both teams ran the ball 42 times.
Yeah, I mean,
they
that's
both
really
ran it 42 times. That's crazy.
Yeah, especially in this day and age of football, period, whether it's NFL or college football, you're seeing everybody throw a million times. It's almost like the 3-point shot in NBA. I mean, it's just you throw the ball a million times. It's just what you do. So yeah, it was great. If every game, playoff game, the rest of the weekend goes like that, you'll be absolutely thrilled. You know, but I cannot, as we sit here today with Wild Card Weekend, predict any big upset. I can't do it. I can't see.
Well, remember, the Chargers are favored at Houston.
Exactly. But that see, now, last year, I don't think it's not the same Texans team. But last year, I remember coming in here on this very day and being so confident in Joe Flacco and the Cleveland Browns playing the Houston Texans.
And they got hammered.
They got crushed.
Yes.
But that Texans team was much better. The offense was much better. They have, you know, they've had so many issues. Obviously, the Tank Dell injury basically threw C.J. Stroud for a loop, and he hasn't been the same since. But I feel like that's just that the Chargers are going to win that game, no? Now, I know that their schedule of all the playoff teams actually was the easiest in the NFL, but I still, I can't see the Texans winning that game. I could see, you know, these teams covering. I could see the Broncos covering. I could see the Steelers covering, but I have no faith in either one of those teams winning.
Let me ask you a question. if Brandon Staley were the coach of the Chargers, who would win the game?
They wouldn't even be in the game. But
that's the point about a head coach in the NFL and how he can reconfigure a franchise. You know, now listen, he's got a top-end quarterback. There's no question about it. They don't have top-end wide receivers just yet. They have good players. They're getting there. They're mostly young players. They had to get rid of all that salary at that position in the offseason just so they could rebuild certain parts of their team, which I think they've done. And you're right, they have had one of the easier schedules, if not the easiest schedule in the NFL. But it just goes to show you what a coach with presence can do.
Well, yeah, we've been talking about it for a very long time.
I mean, I know he's awkward. I know he's a little bit off. He's a little bit Looney Tunes. But I love the fact that he's that way. And I love the fact that he was a former quarterback both in college and in the NFL. And he understands how to get a team prepared for a game. And that's why, you know, he's a guy like Sean Payton is in Denver. Like, you can never count out the teams that are coached by great coaches. You just can't. Because they're going to have guys, they're going to have their teams ready. They're going to have their teams prepared. And I believe that both teams will be ready and prepared. And if we came in here and you told me that Buffalo won 27-24, I would not be shocked.
No.
Neither one of these teams going on the road, Denver or the Chargers, keeping these games relatively close or even winning these games, that would not shock me just simply because of who the coaches are.
Yeah, one I'm having a tough time with, though, is picking the Steelers to cover or not. Because there's so many of these old-school Ravens-Steelers things that are in my head about how Lamar Jackson struggled against the Steelers, not the last game that they played, but over the course of his career, and how these games are always close, and all of these things. But what I've seen from the Pittsburgh Steelers the last couple of weeks, I mean, can you even use those examples in the past with this matchup? I hear T.J. Watt going crazy about that. He's sick of losing in the first round and all of this stuff. I just think the Ravens, especially with the way their defense has essentially over the last number of weeks in the NFL, has become the number one defense in football. And the way that the Steelers' offense has been, It's hard for me to see this game being close. But then again, you know, Steelers-Ravens games can be like that.
They can be like that. And, you know, they know each other so well. And I think Lamar, the last time these two teams played, finally got it off his back that he was able to win, you know, and he win comfortably and he adds to his very impressive season statistically. They become the number three seed after trailing the Pittsburgh Steelers for, what, three quarters of the season?
Yeah, Steelers were 10-3, yeah.
I mean, my God. So they leapfrogged them. They played better towards the end of the season. The thing that you alluded to is the rivalry and the intensity of it. But also, which Lamar are we going to get? We're going to get the hyped up one, or are we going to get the new one, supposedly, that is going to try to stay, like, balanced the way he has been pretty much the entire year? He hasn't really had a bad game all year long.
Yeah, and if you're going to get the hyped up one, I don't think it's going to be this week. I think that it's well, those other matchups and those, because I think everybody believes, I mean, they're a huge favorite in this game. Everybody believes that he's going to win this one and move on, and if he doesn't, it's just going to be kaboom. Everybody's going to go crazy on him.
Well, here's the other thing. If the Steelers go in there and get blasted and they lose, you know, see a Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
and, I mean, and they're back on the quarterback treadmill again.
Yeah, I mean, Arthur Smith, I watched a little bit of a press conference that he did, and I felt in watching it that he wanted to start Justin Fields. That's what I took out of
really?
It.
Really?
I did. It sounded to me, and like
wow.
Reading into it, that he would have rather had Justin Fields start this game, but Mike Tomlin is going to stick with Russell Wilson. That's what it felt like.
That would be shocking to me if that
Well, they're
happened.
Not going to do
but
that.
I know that, but if you felt that way, I mean, what about, hey, Arthur Smith, can you get George Pickens' head screwed on straight?
Yeah.
How about that? Except let's get away from the quarterback for a second, and let's talk about a mercurial wide receiver. And this goes to show you how important they are and how destructive they can be. They're important when they're playing their game and they're making plays and they're doing all these great athletic things that position is capable of doing. But if you watch George Pickens like the last 3 weeks of the season, I mean, maybe he's still hurt. Maybe the hamstring is still bothering him. That could be an issue. But there's also the mental aspect of it where people are asking whether or not he and the quarterback are on the same page. And, you know, he got a little bit annoyed when Russell basically said we weren't on the same page. And he probably took that as an insult, meaning that Russell was unable to read where he was going, or he made a couple route adjustments that he didn't agree with.
It's one of the biggest cliches in all of sports, though. I mean, we're just not on the same page today. Like, it's not that much of an insult.
You know, if you say, but you don't understand how people take things. That's
well, he takes it because
thing.
He's nuts. He takes it that way, you know?
If you're dealing with a player, like I've had situations where you're dealing with a player and you have to understand how that player is going to take what you say. And if you're not aware of that, and Russell should be aware of that, because he's dealing with an individual that he spends every single day with. They're in the locker room every day. They're on the practice field. They're in the meeting rooms. He's got to be speaking to them left and right. I had a couple of players like that, and what I would do is I would try to create a personal relationship where I can go to him and I could talk to him off-grid, and we can have conversations about what I expect, what he should expect from me, and just clear the air and make sure everybody's on the same page. I hope for the Steelers and their fans' sake, that's exactly what Russell Wilson's doing. That's why you go with a veteran quarterback to make sure situations like this don't happen.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
The road to New Orleans with Boomer and Geo is presented by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. And we really start moving on that road to New Orleans with the wild card weekend games this weekend. Very, very excited for that. It is Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
I'm going to say thank you to Eitan Levine. I guess he works with Manischewitz, and we talked about this kid. His name is Jake Retzlaff. He is the first Jewish quarterback at BYU. He actually filed for his nickname, BYJew.
That is great.
Which is unbelievable.
Yep.
But, so this is the matzah of champions. Now, I have a box of matzahs here. And Jake, you got it all the way to us, so we appreciate it. Jerry, have you ever had a matzah?
Oh, yeah.
You want one right now?
I'll have one, sure.
Oh, good. I want you to eat one.
Okay.
And that is like the brand of matzah.
This
like
they are
the kings.
Right. Al, you want a matzah?
I'll take a matzah.
Yeah, come on here. Ask Rasconas. You want a matzah?
I've never had a matzah in my life.
Oh, you're going to jam one down your throat right
you
now.
You want to share one? I'll share one with you.
All right. Break all one right. in half.
Break matzah. Break
half. There we go. Take the other half.
We'll all break bread together.
Yeah.
How is it, Jerry?
Good. Very good.
Is it a matzah of champions?
I would say so.
Well, good. Very good.
Now, what would be the thing you would put on here? That would
me. I'd put like a guacamole spread.
Would you?
Yeah, because it's like it tastes to me. It's a little stiffer than a premium cracker. You okay?
I was just waiting for what word come out of your mouth. And stiffer was the thing that I was expecting.
Stop being juvenile, please.
If you put if you put sauce and cheese on this, it's like a thin crust pizza.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Very good point. These are good, actually.
I wonder if matzo pizza is a thing. I'm sure someone's got a YouTube channel where they're a matzo pizza specialist.
Right, exactly.
And yeah. If not, maybe I'll start one.
That sounds fun.
There's a guy right now going, they're talking about you on the fan, finally. Matzo pizza. Amazing.
You got to have some liquid with it, though.
Well, yeah, it's a
little dry.
Dry cracker.
Very dry, yeah.
Like yeah, but you're not supposed to eat it just like this. I mean, it's a vehicle for something.
A vehicle.
Is it not?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
I know. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think, yeah. It's a vehicle.
You know, no one's just popping this Manischewitz and just eating it out of the box.
Get ready now for about a million calls about matzahs and what to do with them and what to put them with.
You know what, though?
What?
I'm glad I'm having this matzah right now. It's making me a little nourishment in the
Isn't
morning.
Isn't there a soup? Isn't there a matzah
ball soup?
Matzah ball soup, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So a very quick Google search comes up with My Jewish Mommy Life on YouTube.
Yeah.
She's got a whole episode on three delicious ways to make matzah pizza.
Oh, there you go. See? So, Brian, you've never had a matzah before. How's it taste to you?
It's a big cracker. It's fine. It's good. I feel like I could break it up and put it in soup.
Peter Schwartz. Cheryl Schwartz makes matzah pizza all the time.
There we go.
They eat it on Passover. Peter Schwartz says he likes butter on it as well. Now, who doesn't like butter on anything, you know?
That's true.
You put butter on everything. And then a buddy of mine, Brian, says his Jewish grandmother... cream cheese was the thing.
I can see that.
See, it's a vehicle for something.
Absolutely.
We need some condiments in here.
Cream cheese and lox.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Cut down on the bagel calories.
I haven't really eaten anything all week. I was doing my cleanse. My chroma
so watch
cleanse.
Out. Here he comes.
No, I'm not.
Monster's out of the cage.
No, man, I did my chroma cleanse. Lost 10 pounds.
Nice.
Feel good. I'm glowing. There you go.
You're giving all the matzah to me.
Yeah, get it away from me. I will eat that whole box.
I know. I've seen you do that.
It's easy to.
I've seen you suck a ulacaca right down your throat. A whole one. Inhale. No chewing. All right, Jerry, what's going on over there?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And we're brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I know you started with the NFL, but with the college football last night, you had Notre Dame and Penn State at the Orange Bowl. And so if you're Greg McElroy in ESPN, here he was with Penn State getting the ball, late stages of the fourth quarter. And he was asked by Sean McDonough, what would he do if you were Penn State? You're kind of deep in your own territory. Not a lot of time left.
I'm aggressive. I mean, I got two timeouts. I feel like the momentum's been back and forth. The quarterback, for the most part, all season long, his whole career, Drew Aller's made good decisions. He's got 50-plus touchdowns, only 9 career interceptions. He's not likely a guy that's going to put the ball in harm's way. I trust him. I think he can do it.
Made all the sense in the world.
I heard that, and I was like, you know, I would have done the same thing. I mean, this is my guy. This is my leader. He's a captain of the team. He's the one that's getting all the notoriety around the NFL draft and everything. Go out and win the game.
Yeah. Well, he didn't, because two plays later.
Aller hit as he threw.
Again, ESPN with the call. Then you would get the game-winning field goal as Notre Dame beats Penn State 27-24. Mitch Jeter with the game-winning 41-yard field goal. So how were the nerves before that kick?
There's none. I mean, to go out there and just do what I do thousands of times, just to be able to go out there and hopefully give our team a chance to achieve team glory. That's what Coach Freeman obviously often talks about. Just happy to do that for our team.
What's going on?
What's the matter, man?
Sometimes I just think of things that have happened and I just start laughing about it.
Okay.
And I was just, because Riscona played that gurgle sound, and I was just going through that whole thing in my head again.
And the Yule Caca?
Yeah. So I started laughing. I was just, I was checked out on that cut. I'm sorry. I was just thinking about the gurgling. The gurgling is funny.
The gurgling is funny.
Well, that's not funny when your partner almost chokes.
You were fine. It was a smoothie. You're not choking on a smoothie.
Like your boy, you know, Al Duke's throwing that comment out there like that.
Bones in it.
Bones. Such a jack.
And what was that about again?
That was about CeeLo's tail.
Yeah, CeeLo's pus-filled tail.
Okay. I forgot about that.
His twin brother that died on his ass.
That was the worst thing we heard.
Yes.
Was when someone brought that up, or you might have brought that up. It was terrible.
There's CeeLo. Did you see this, Jerry?
That looks real. So the Irish will play the winner in tonight's Cotton Bowl between Ohio State and Texas in the national championship game on Monday night, January 20th.
What do you got tonight, guys?
Ohio State.
Yeah.
100%.
Me too, yep.
Got a quarter?
What's the spread?
I think it's, I want to say Ohio State's favored. I believe.
Sports guys.
Hold on. Yeah, I know.
I mean, I know. Before the audience, who doesn't? Who are they playing?
I just said it.
Just Google it.
Ohio State and Texas, Al. Ohio State and Texas.
It is, hold on, FanDuel Sportsbook. Ohio State -5.5.
Yeah.
The NFL did move Monday's wild card game between the Vikings and Rams to Arizona because of the crazy wildfires in Los Angeles.
Apocalyptic, man.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's, from the air.
There's no words for it.
There are no words for it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe some people think this is extreme. They need the U.S. Army in there. With the looting going on right now, the devastation. You know, you got to put yourself at this. It looks like.
Couldn't imagine.
It looked like Hurricane Sandy around here.
Yes.
When you think about what happened to the people around here and how they felt. And I mean, I don't care about the politics really right now at this moment, but the politicians don't inspire any sort of confidence in anything that they say. So this thing is going to turn into like just an absolute nightmare. And I just think that there has to be like a security force in there that goes in there and just basically calms everybody down, calms the normal everyday person down, and then deals with the extremes.
But is it more under control this morning?
No.
I mean, I saw last night that it's still not.
And I mean, law enforcement is stretched really, really thin. This is why we were talking yesterday about whether or not they were going to move this game. Mm-hmm. They had to move the game.
Yeah.
They had to move the game. There's no sense in stretching those resources any thinner than they already are. As a matter of fact, they need more people to go out there and start setting up things to help people who don't have the money to be able to go somewhere else or have bi-coastal homes. You know, I've known 4 people that lost everything.
Wow.
Everything. It's just absolutely heartbreaking.
And the stories about them having their fire insurance taken away or not able to get it?
Well, again, that's because of governmental policies. You have to understand that the people that you vote for, that we vote for, they put in policies that have an adverse effect on things, and that has to be taken into account as opposed to just dumping on the companies that pull out of these places because they can't deal with the regulations that the politicians put in place. The politicians think they're doing a favor for the consumer when in actuality, in this case especially, and I'm sure on the coast of Long Island and the coast of Jersey, there are probably similar situations.
Al, you've right. We talked about this with the flood insurance.
Yeah, they told me August I'm done. No more.
That's I'm insurance. Just telling you because of whatever the regulations the state might have put in place. You know, every state, I believe there are 50 different insurance boards within each state, so every state is different, and they put these policies in place. You know, governmental policies that adversely affect the ability for people to make money in the industry in which they are working. You know, the insurance company, while I've had my frustrations with them too, and healthcare as well, but, you know, they are in the business of making money. And if they feel like there are going to be state policies that are going to hold down the ability to make money when something like this happens, you know, they're going to pull out. They're just not going to do it. And I was telling you guys yesterday, they all have analytics groups. They all look at these things and they realize that, okay, we have a forest that has all this dead wood, all this, and every year we have Santa Ana winds, and every year there are forest fires, but mostly sometimes we can contain them. And this set of circumstances that happened out there in L.A. is just unprecedented, and it was the worst of the worst at the wrong time, and nobody was prepared for it. That's the biggest. It's 2025, and nobody's prepared for something like that, knowing that it's a powder keg sitting there.
Just quickly, the Knicks do play the Thunder tonight. The Nets are in Denver. Cavaliers did beat the Raptors, so their winning streak goes to 12. Lakers and Hornets were postponed. J.J. Redick did lose his home in Los Angeles. We found that out. College basketball, Purdue beat Rutgers.
Time out. Any idea how many... I haven't seen it yet, and I'm trying to find it. Any Rams players that were affected or Chargers players that were affected?
Sean McVay said that there were a couple of staff members that had to get evacuated, but nobody has been hurt or nobody has lost their home as part of that organization.
Okay.
The only thing I've seen is J.J. Redick lost his home and Steve Kerr's parents' home, I believe, was destroyed. That's the two stories I've seen. Rangers did beat the Devils in overtime 3-2. Sam Carrick with the game-winning goal there. The Islanders shut out the Canucks 4-0. Anders Lee scored his 19th of the season. Second period goals for Brock Nelson and Bo Horvat.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Football Friday Wild Card weekend. And thank God the Rangers ended up winning last night, because makes it a better Feel Good Friday. You bop it in here in a good mood. I could not deal with you and the sourpuss on the face and just crapping all over everybody if they lost to the Devils. So an overtime win makes this a true Feel Good Friday.
Yeah, and Sam Carrick gets the overtime goal. Who would have thought, right? I mean, look, it was a great game last night, just like the Notre Dame-Penn State game was a great game last night. But we cannot stay with the Devils' first line. We cannot stay with them. Jack Hughes and Jesper Bratt, those guys are unbelievable. And then they added Andre Palat to that, who's a former Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, our guys are like, you know, their skates are getting crossed too many times when you're playing against. Those guys are awesome. They are fast. And we just can't keep up with them. So, but it was a good win. Nonetheless, I am happy this morning. Better compete level the last four or five games. And let's hopefully this will lead to something more. They got a tough schedule going on. They got to go out to Vegas. And your Islanders shut out the Vegas Golden Knights last night. That's a hell of a shutout for them.
Yeah, good for them. Hopefully some better hockey here.
Speaking
in 2025.
Of that, I was texting with John Ledecky yesterday.
Oh, were you?
Yep. He says, tell you hello.
Okay. Hi back, John.
He said, like, he considers me family.
That's weird.
I kind of like it. It's weird, but I said, well, buy the Rangers. Then we can really become family.
Well, just because Matt and Sydney and you, and he feels like Matt's family, so you're by proxy family. That's what he feels like?
Yeah. Which I took as a huge compliment, because I'm going to Disney on Ice on Saturday.
Oh, okay. So that's why you were texting with him.
For Casper's birthday.
I took Sabrina to Disney on Ice last year.
Is it okay?
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it. I have to say, I enjoyed it.
You did.
They did a very, very good job.
How was Sabrina? Like, how was her attention?
She loved it. And like, you know, it's like every character that came out was special. You know, it's like, oh, here comes Moana, and like, oh, here comes Elsa.
A lot of kids screaming.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, okay, looking forward to it.
And as much as I did not want to get her the blue ice thing, like it's like in a frozen cup. It's like a commemorative cup. All it is ice that they pour sugar and dye on top of for like $14. Oh, and I was like, I just don't want to do it. I told her, I was like, can you pick something else? And then, of course, she was sad, gave me those eyes. And I'm like, all right, fine.
You got hooked, line, and sinkered.
I'm just like, don't expect this to be a thing, this snow cone thing, because this is like the worst thing in the world. But she had a great time.
You know, and by the way, we were just talking about the matzahs and all the different recipes, because I don't know about you, all my Jewish friends are now sending
me
all
their own personal
recipes.
Had a bunch.
Here's one from my buddy Gil Shapiro. He says, popular dish is soaking an egg and frying it. It's then would become known as Jewish French toast.
All right. Let's do some of that.
I don't like my French toast that rigid. I got to have like
fluffy.
Fluffy.
Need a fluffy French toast.
Thick bread.
Big and thick and big. Fluffy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's...
I will not give this one a shot, but I appreciate it, Gil. Thanks.
I like my French toast like I like my women.
Big and thick.
Big, thick, and fluffy. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So all this Bill Belichick stuff is out there yesterday, because the Raiders fire Tom Telesco, their general manager, and it was 2 days after they fired Antonio Pierce, and you heard about the buyout with Belichick and Brady and Belichick, and then Mike Lombardi, who was on the staff as the GM of the North Carolina football program with Belichick, went on Pat McAfee and said, absolutely ridiculous. He is no way he is leaving. That's not what's going on. And then Jonathan Jones, NFL insider, said, keep an eye on the assistant GM for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not our buddy Mike Greenberg, but somebody else, because Tom Brady and him, Michigan connection.
What's his name?
It might be Spy Tech, which sounds like a rubber glove company or something.
But yes.
I mean, it may be.
I think he was one of the guys that was instrumental in working out the deal with Tom Brady to come to Tampa, and I'm sure they kind of forged a relationship, and if they did play together at Michigan, they already had one, so it just galvanized and would make sense. I think Jonathan's probably up the right path, but it'd be interesting to see how much I would imagine Tom Brady's going to have a lot of influence in that decision. And that decision came out of nowhere. I thought that they would keep Telesco, but man, that to me was more shocking than Antonio Pierce getting fired, because they brought Telesco in and he drafted Brock Bowers, who had an incredible season for them.
Yeah. I mean, record breaking season.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't find the ex post now, of course, but I believe it's something like that, Spy Tech, whatever. But he's the guy to keep an eye on.
All right, let's go to Mike in South Plainfield. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, Boomer, Gio, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning. Mike? What's happening?
Hey, you had mentioned a little bit ago about the fires out in California and that they needed to do something, bring in the Army.
But yeah.
They're going to do something a little bit more than that. My son's a United States Marine. He called us last night from Camp Pendleton and said that they've been put on 24-hour notice to deploy.
Good.
To assist with the fires.
Good. I mean, like, so assisting with the fires, what does that mean? What is their mission command? What are they doing? Are they there for security? Yeah.
No, they're going to be building fire breaks, digging ditches, just to stop the spread as much as they can. They'll be on the forward end of it, not actually fighting fires, but actually
trying to prevent the fires and stuff. Yeah, but what I'm also talking about is men on the ground with guns securing those neighborhoods and to keep looting from happening.
Or people, arsonists, like that crazy son of a bitch that they caught yesterday.
Yeah.
No more of that, too.
Yep.
I mean, listen.
Yeah, they may.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they may be having a platoon do that as well. But I'm not privy to that.
I'll tell you what, the general public would welcome it. I don't care what anybody says. They want to see security. They want to see people with authority and people that absolutely have the ability to keep other people safe. That's the way I would look at it. And this is going to turn into a Mad Max situation if it hasn't already.
I mean, it really does look like the set of a post-apocalyptic movie. I mean, that's exactly what it looks like.
Not as many people died. I know that. But if you look at the aerial pictures, which are horrific, and you look at this, I mean, the landmass area, that looks like where two atom bombs were dropped.
Yeah, and thank God it hasn't been a true mass casualty event to this point. There have been some people that have died, but you look at those pictures and you're thinking, oh, there's got to be hundreds dead, and luckily it's not the case.